Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by Sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid and all across that Spiz Grizz network. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go. Plenty of Major League Baseball to preview for you on this Tuesday with a full slate around the bigs. We've got a triple header of WNBA basketball tonight. Thank God we actually have basketball games, because if we have one more day of off-the-court conjecture around the W and Caitlin Clark like we had yesterday, the earth might open up and everybody will be sucked into its core. That's how much it sucked yesterday. But Donnie, one more hour to go. Should be a fun hour.
I liked it yesterday, by the way. So let's get it on again. Let's have a lot of conjecture and a lot of fun across the sports landscape. But we do have some hot topics, certainly, to get to, which includes some wide receiver talk, which, again, you know, I feel like I'm the preeminent wide receiver here at the network. I believe so. Has anybody else played wide receiver at the network? And so I feel like I step into the boundaries of, I know exactly what Justin Jefferson is going through, despite without the cash flow. So I'm ready for this.
Right. I think you would have to ask Joe Lisi. I believe he was a slot receiver back.
I think he was a corner.
His knee blew out.
Was he? No way. Oh. Well, Lisi couldn't have been very good slot receiver.
Did Kev ever get out there?
How about Big MC back in the day? We've seen pictures of Big MC.
No, baseball player, though. Big MC, baseball player. Pretty good baseball player. Made it all the way to AAA. Played at Rosenblatt in Omaha, as he once detailed for me.
How about that? Yeah. Now, where did we go to? Where did he go to college? If we don't sidetrack this show real quick,
St. John's. Yeah.
Wow.
MC, our boss Mike Cardano, played his college baseball at St. John's. Pretty good.
What were they back
Best
then?
Athlete
what,
when the he grade?
Went there, what was the mascot when they went there? Did it change since then? We're just doing trivia around here. Like, I like to get back in the day of, like, you know, certain things and have nostalgia around here.
Well, I think they were the Red Storm. All right, so as we get this show back on track and we talk about Donnie Wrightside's receiver career and the money he wished he could have made in the National Football League, of course, we focus
NIL.
On Justin Jefferson. You could have been, man. NIL before your time. You should be involved in that $2.7 billion payout the NCAA is giving to former athletes, but only from 2016 to 2020. Again, we get this show back on the rails. Justin Jefferson, the largest payday we have ever seen for a wide receiver or a non-quarterback in the history of the National Football League yesterday. 4-year extension worth $140 million. So we wanted to hear from the people, DRS. Will Justin Jefferson's contract ever be outdone as he resets the wide receiver market? That was the question in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, will Justin Jefferson's contract be surpassed by another wide receiver by the start of the 2025 NFL season? That would be next year after a full offseason as the market continues to grow. Most of the public, more than 55%, saying yes, Justin Jefferson's record contract will be set or broken by another record contract. The no, just a little bit shy of 45%. Which way did you vote?
I actually voted no, but this is a very, very tough one here because we saw a lot of the preeminent wide receivers get re-upped this year. There's still a couple on the table. Now, guys like, I don't know, I mean, who else would actually be up there? The Raiders Jamar wide receiver, Chase. Jamar Chase would be up there. But see, the reason why it's hard to say, like, Jamar Chase right. should absolutely be. If Jamar Chase was in the equation, and let's just say he played for Ben, any other team in the National Football League except the Cincinnati Bengals, I would absolutely have voted yes on this because he deserves it. He's that same guy in line when the price of the brick goes up, as we like to say, on an equal talent, which I believe Chase is comparable to Jefferson, and it's just the time of when you sign your contract of where that expands.
Yep.
He should be in line. But I got a feeling like this. Where if you're taking a look at what's happening in Cincinnati, which it feels like it's Jamar Chase should be the one setting the bar, I do believe the way they treated T. Higgins, I think that same collision course is on place for Jamar Chase where they go, we're not even going to look at extending you this year. We still have a couple more years under team control. So then when you get to next year, they start to go, well, we might just wait this out and we're so far off, we'll just slap the tag on you the following season. So that's why I voted no. Right. Jamar Chase should set the tone here for the next level of contracts for wide receivers. But since it's the Bengals, I think we might be looking at 2 to 3 years out if Chase even gets paid by the Bengals.
Okay, so let's do a couple of things here to maybe have an understanding of who might be in line for a contract extension. Justin Jefferson, after his fourth year in the National Football League, just received that record-setting contract extension. He was under contract under his rookie deal for one more season. That was through this year. Thus, the impetus to get the contract done now before Justin Jefferson could even think about testing free agency waters at the end of the 2024 NFL campaign. Jamar Chase, drafted in 2021, just completed his third year. He is under contract after since he picked up his fifth-year team option for his rookie deal for two more years. So the timeline, the emphasis on it is not as important as it was for Justin Jefferson, but the reason it makes fiscal sense for Cincinnati is if you give him the contract extension now, in the value of the contract extension, either equals Justin Jefferson's, gets close to it at $35 million a year, or maybe even surpasses it, you also have it valued out over the average length of the final 2 years of his rookie deal, where he is not making close to 25 or 30 mil or anything of the sort. That's why it makes fiscal sense for Cincinnati. But your point has often been, DRS, for the Bengals, with T. Higgins placed under the franchise tag back in March earlier this offseason, still set to make about $21.8 million, that the Bengals don't pay wide receivers. The Bengals don't really pay anybody except Joe Burrow, who they made the highest paid quarterback and player in the history of the National Football League last offseason, or at least the offseason for most, because it happened right before kickoff in the season debut game in Arrowhead between the Chiefs and the Lions. 5-year contract extension, $275 million, the first guy to ever get $55 million per year, that you do not expect Cincy to pay either Jamar Chase or T. Higgins this offseason. I disagree. I think Jamar Chase is going to get his contract extension, but I do wonder what that means then for T. Higgins, because if they invest in Jamar Chase, is there enough money for T. Higgins if they pay Jamar Chase first and his numbers look equivalent to what Justin Jefferson just got with the record-setting contract extension? What does that mean for T. Higgins and his contract negotiations, so on and so forth?
Yeah, and you also have to take a look at the way Cincinnati has operated for years and years and years. They're always on that lower end of the spectrum. You know, it's the joke about it, even seeing some of the, those ownership grades that they were giving out, where half the time you can't even get a meal inside the facility and, you know, there's no daycare and all that stuff. Yeah. You're talking about one of the franchises that's not owned by a conglomerate that's worth billions and billions and billions of dollars outside of the NFL. This is basically a family-run organization. Now, granted, they make a ton of money, so we're not feeling sorry for the Cincinnati Bengals, but if you remember, Joe Burrow was coming up, and you know you have to pay your quarterback. That is your franchise guy, and he might reset the bar on what quarterbacks are actually worth. Do you remember what the Bengals actually had to do? They sold their stadium naming rights to start to make up some of that money to pay him. And now you're taking a look at a team that just did that, that goes, well, if I pay one wide receiver, I have to pay the other one. And I think that stance is going to come where they didn't expect to pay any of their wide receivers this year, yep, a long-term deal. Hey, we just slapped the tag on T. Higgins. We got another year for Ja'Marr Chase before he should really be acting up. That's not the case. Now, granted, if the market landscape outside of Cincinnati was, well, nobody's really getting paid, and maybe the next 2 years the wide receivers will, we wouldn't get this squawking. But anybody that's put in a position where another guy who you see is an equal to you is absolutely breaking the bank, and your ownership slash manager is telling you, like, yeah, that's not you, that's not our organization, you should be happy with the money you make now. That's not the way professional sports works here. And some guys where you might say, well, T. Higgins is going to make $20 million. Look at $110 million just got splashed into Justin Jefferson's account. He gets injured, he's got $110. You get injured for T. Higgins, you got $20. Where does that seem fair? It's not.
We were also supposed to share that CeeDee Lamb not expected to be at mandatory minicamp with the Cowboys, but we'll talk about that later. Craig Mish joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Daily Base is live right here on this Tuesday as Craig Mish now joins the show on the early line, our MLB insider, with some big breaking news around baseball to break down. And, of course, the host of Newswire starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time each and every day during the week. Craig, thank you so much for being here on this Tuesday. If you want to flash the shirt, let's take a moment. Florida, the three seed in the Stillwater region, comes back to knock off the Pokes. Oklahoma State hosting yesterday in that regional final, and the Gators are on to the Super Regionals. Kevin O'Sullivan, the manager for Florida, even flashing a smile yesterday. Craig, congrats to your alma mater.
They got a good team. You never know with this stuff when you get to the College World Series, especially, and you get to that final. But I think the Gators legitimately have a chance to win it all this year. So I'll be watching more of the College Baseball World Series than I have in the last couple of years. I'm very excited to see it.
It is going to be incredible. Florida has maybe the number one overall pick, if it's not Charlie Condon from Georgia, and Jack Caglione, who is fantastic for the Gators. All right, Craig, let's dive into the big news that we got yesterday around Major League Baseball. Yucapita Mercano has... Well, okay, I'm just going to get to it because the breaking news just came out. Sorry, Joe Frizzo. The MLB just announced that Yucapita Mercano has been banned for life for betting on baseball. Craig, as we look at this and why this happened, what details do you have about this emerging story around MLB?
Yeah, I think I'm seeing the same thing as everybody else. The Wall Street Journal initially reported it, so I was reading yesterday some of the details behind it. It just seems to be a player that, particularly maybe with a lack of education on what the rules were, made a very big mistake, but it doesn't excuse him. He should have known better, especially when it comes to betting on the sport and betting on the team that you're playing in, so we will never see that player again. Now, I know minutes ago, Major League Baseball just released the other names of the players that have been suspended for betting on sports, and they've all received one-year suspensions. The only name on there in particular that I have, that I know fairly well is Jay Groom, a pitcher with the San Diego Padres. And the reason why this sticks out to me, Ben, is because sometimes with some of these players, you can't make a case for betting on baseball, okay? You can't make a case for betting on the rules, betting or going against the rules. But I think what you can do is sort of surmise and say, hey, look, you know, these guys aren't making that much money. They're minor league players. If they screw up, they screw up. But Groom was the 12th overall pick not that long ago by the Boston Red Sox. So it stands to reason, and I didn't have a chance to take a look at what his signing bonus was. But, Ben, I'm going to guess it was more than $1 million. I'm going to guess it was maybe even more than $2 million. So I got to go back and look at that. But if that's the case, that's more than just being not educated. It's just stupid. Like, you've made so much money over the course of your early career without playing in Major League Baseball. You should know better than betting $20,000 or $30,000 or even $5,000 on baseball at all. The other names I am familiar with, but I have to educate myself a little bit more. Again, this news just came out, so coming up at the top of the hour on Newswire, I'll dive more into it.
Some of the details here also, 231 bets he placed on baseball, totaling $87,319, 25 bets on the Pittsburgh Pirates while he was assigned to the Pirates players. Look, there's laws across the land that, you know, human beings are breaking on a day-to-day basis, but just focusing on Major League Baseball, I don't know if you're ever going to get rid of this here, but also, what are the steps that Major League Baseball puts in place for the players? Is it just like before spring training starts, we have to go to a one-hour seminar why we can't actually bet on baseball? But how does Major League Baseball handle this issue?
Yeah, Donnie, I think that's exactly what's being done, and maybe more will have to be done. But I think education is obviously the key here. But it goes beyond that, and I think you saw that in some of the other sports. In the National Football League, we've seen players suspended too. So it's not baseball by itself. In the NBA, we have a player also doing the same thing on his props. So baseball, no different than basketball, no different than football at this point. So I don't want to put baseball as an outlier here, Donnie. I don't think that that's fair because the other sports have had the same sort of issues. It's just all across the way we need to educate and make sure that the players know exactly what they're going up against. But I got to tell you, even with that happening, I still think there are going to be players that will take advantage of the system. Mm-hmm. Remember, in baseball, Donnie, players still do get suspended for cheating, for using steroids. Players do get suspended for using stuff with their glove. You know, and intact with their hands and the ball. So I would expect this to continue. All we have just people in the game, in the industry, who are not going to listen and going to break the rules. And I think this is a matter of that.
Craig, Newswire is really the mixing at times of the sports news that we have with the updates on the sports gambling space and sports betting as a whole. As legalization of sports gambling continues to pick up throughout the United States, one thing I think we all know is that the integrity of the game product is always going to be protected first and foremost by these professional leagues. So as you consider what we are seeing, we've seen it in the National Football League. We have seen it in the NBA, in Major League Baseball as well. With these punishments and the disciplines that are handed down, the casual fan might say, I watch a game every night. It's sponsored by FanDuel. I watch this show. It's sponsored by FanDuel. The professional leagues have partnerships with major sportsbook operators around the country. Why are we punishing people for a year or suspending people for life? Do you judge these punishments as too severe, or are they necessary to try to stem this behavior?
I think it's a combination of both. I think it has to be done to show other players that you can't do this and look what the repercussions would be. But look, I know we have, you know, certainly sponsors here at Sports Grid, so I'm not going to, you know, call out, so to speak, one sports betting operator or another. But the easiest way to eliminate some of this stuff, and I thought so in the NBA, I still think so with some of the player props, is, Ben, isn't it just possible to take max bets on some of this stuff and not get into a situation where you make it reasonable for players to look at this thing and say, hey, look, if I can only bet $500 on the team that I'm playing on, is it really worth it? It may be worth it for them, Ben, to bet 50 or 100 grand. They're not making that much money. And I understand you don't want to max out people in this world, and certainly the industry doesn't want to do it, and all the operators don't want to do it. But that was not the problem to me.
Yeah. Craig, we appreciate your perspective. I'm sure there will be plenty more in just about 40 minutes, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern, live on Newswire. And congrats to the Gators once again. Around the W, up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The WNBA, maybe sometimes hotter off the court news than on the court news. That's not going to be the case tonight. We got some action on the hardwood tonight. And Ben, are you excited about the WNBA off the court more or on the court more? Why don't we start there?
On the court. Let them play basketball. These are elite basketball players. They are elite athletes. Sure, the game is going to be physical. We do not have to take a flagrant one foul and make it a statement on society, or use the WNBA as a league, or use individuals playing in the league, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Kennedy Carter, so on and so forth, to use their identity for our own personal agendas that are self-serving. It is basketball. Donnie, frankly, I'm not sure. We as a public, we as sports fans, we as sports media, were ready to focus on all the emergence that was happening from a momentum perspective with women's basketball and strictly treat it as a sport as we would in any of the other major professional leagues. I do not believe we are ready, and we are seeing that time and again when we discuss these individuals and we use play on the court to take it outside and make it fall into a narrative that we generate in our own minds. It is ridiculous. The conjecture yesterday on social media was enough to make me punch myself in my face, and I almost did.
How about that? Now, also, we're going to take a look at some action tonight between the Mystics and the Sun. You know what's crazy about this game? You're just like, hey, the O's got to go. Two great teams. How about a team, Ben, if I told you, hasn't lost a basketball game against a team that basically hasn't won a basketball game? Mystic Sun, 13.5-point number is the opening line at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now it's down to 13 total, 152.5. Are we going to see a massive upset? Or look at this. The chances of the Connecticut Sun running the table just increased.
Yeah, listen, I think the Sun are going to keep that O and make it 9-0 to start this year for Connecticut, which would mean the O is on the other side for the Sticks as well. Not basically haven't won a game. Washington has not won a game in 0-8 start to this year for the Mystics. Now, the spread is large. Here's where I look at things for Connecticut. Anytime the Sun are playing in a basketball game, it's the number on the far right. It's the total. Connecticut was the best defensive team in the WNBA a season ago. The Sun remain the best defensive team in the WNBA this season as well. But Donnie, oftentimes, even the lowest totals in the W are in the low 160s. Connecticut just came off a game over the weekend where they won by 19, 69-50. 69-50. That's a Big Ten basketball score. That's a Mountain West basketball score. That is not a professional basketball score, and we are seeing that reflected in the odds. The over-under for Connecticut's game on Sunday was 158.5. It has dropped by 6 points. Is it getting too steep? 69-50 would say no. We still stayed well under this total. That's where I start for Connecticut, and then I, of course, look at maybe the most dynamic player in all of the WNBA. Her name, Alyssa Thomas. When you look at her assist prop tonight, it's 7.5 PRA, triple-double numbers for the all-time triple-double leader in the WNBA. That's Alyssa Thomas. That's where I go tonight in Connecticut between the Suns and the Sticks.
How about 8 o'clock tonight? Liberty and the Sky tee it up. This game opened up as an 8.5-point favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now sitting, hey, you guessed it, at an 8.5-point favorite. Take a look here. The total is set at 165. Liberty and the Sky tonight here. What gives?
Yeah, New York coming off the shellacking of Indiana on Sunday at home, 104-68. The critique for New York, DRS, despite a 7-2 start to this season, has been booked often as a lofty near double-digit favorite. The Libs haven't really been covering the number this year, the Liberty, or at least on Sunday, they certainly did. So the 8.5-point spread is not one that really you should balk at. Here's a name that I would look at tonight that is not Sabrina Ionescu. It is not Brianna Stewart in terms of those points props. It's by Betnijah Laney Hamilton, 12.5 the number for Laney Hamilton tonight. I would like the over in that one.
Let's get to this quick one here. Two teams hovering around 500. It's the Mercury and the Storm. A line here currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook at an 8 and a total of 166.5. Mercury and the Storm. How about it?
Yeah, Seattle off to a slow start, but since Nneka Ogumike fully returned to the lineup and Skylar Diggins-Smith has been healthy as well, Seattle's been playing a lot better basketball, and they still have the reigning WNBA scoring leader in Jewel Lloyd. I would lay the 8 tonight with Seattle out in the Pacific Northwest. Wow. What a pleasure it was to just talk basketball in an exciting basketball league. That is a triple header tonight in the WNBA. Now a ton of daily plays around Major League Baseball comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got a full slate on this Tuesday around the diamond in Major League Baseball, and we break it down here on the early line. He is Donnie. I am Ben. We start tonight in Philadelphia with the Phils, a minus 168. Home money line favorite, trying to win two straight against the Milwaukee Brewers. Over under at 8.5. Yesterday, of course, David Dahl in his Philly debut. A home run and another run scored as the Phils spoiled the return of Rhys Hoskins despite his solo shot as well with a 3-1 victory. What do you anticipate tonight, DRS, in game number two of this midweek set?
Yeah, odds predicted as well, as I think it's another Philadelphia Phillies victory. They have the better starting pitcher on the mound tonight, and that should play out. Sanchez has been very good, but let's also take a look at what we're going to see out of the Milwaukee Brewers. Looks like Koenig's going to be the opener tonight because I'm looking at his statistics throughout the Major League Baseball season. Typically, Ben, going anywhere between two-thirds of an inning to 1 2/3 of an inning here. So he'll open up as the left-hander here to try to take care of Kyle Schwarber and also Bryce Harper right out of the gate. Then he should give way to Colin Ray, who has really struggled with left-handed batters, as a right-handed pitcher. So that does make some sense. So if you're focused on Colin Ray, who is a right-handed pitcher, 255 ISO, 395 weighted on base percentage over his last month in Major League Baseball against lefties. Why is that going to be an issue? Kyle Schwarber against right-handed pitching over the past month, 219 ISO, 447 weighted on base percentage. Bryce Harper, 263 ISO and a 349 weighted on base percentage. Also, some other guys in the lineup, Nick Castellanos and Edmundo Sosa, very good numbers against right-handed pitching over the past month. Yeah. Philly should be able to win this ball game tonight. You're just going to have to wait it out maybe in that first inning until the opener clears and you get to Colin Ray.
Three games set between these two, so one more game tomorrow, off day for Milwaukee on Thursday. I believe the same for Philadelphia. Now we go to Houston. Where is the fork? The Astros, nearly $1.50 favorite tonight as they host the St. Louis Cardinals for the second game of this midweek set. Over-under is 9. Spencer Arrighetti was not necessarily the most stellar starter for Houston to begin this year, but as of late, has been better for the Stros. Is it two straight victories for Houston tonight in H-Town?
Yeah, let's take a look at some of the numbers here. Pallante should be the starter. Not a lot here on the Major League Baseball season. Only 71 batters he's faced in the past 30 days. Only 22. But of those 22, how about this? Combining for a lefty and righty split here. A 0 ISO and a 215 weighted on base percentage. That should help you out. Why? Because the middle of that lineup here is juicy for the Houston Astros. Kyle Tucker, Yordan Alvarez, and Alec Bregman. Now, keep an eye tonight. Kyle Tucker, one of the hottest hitters in Major League Baseball, yesterday in his first appearance, got a base hit. In his second appearance, fouled a ball off his leg and had to leave the ball game because he's had 76 at bats against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days with a 559 ISO and a 563 weighted on base percentage. Some other guys really hitting right-handed pitching in that lineup is Yordan Alvarez, 279 ISO power number, and Alex Bregman at a 324 over the past month. You flip it over to St. Louis, you take a look at Spencer Arrighetti, who's been much better as he was to start the Major League Baseball season. Get a couple guys in the middle of that lineup here hitting right-handed pitching fairly well for the Cardinals, and that's Burleson, Goldschmidt, and Gorman. If you're looking for RBI props, those guys should be on your card, as well as the middle of the lineup for the Houston Astros tonight. But that price point here, I don't know if I want to pay that for the Houston Astros here, so we'll just go with some runs. How about that?
TBD for Toronto as well, who the starter is tonight for the Blue Jays, hosting the Orioles for a second consecutive day. But we know who is starting for Baltimore. That's Corbin Burnes on the bump in the O's, a road favorite in the six once again. Minus 168. Total is 8.5. Baltimore victorious yesterday, 7-2 in a big way behind two home runs from Austin Hayes against the Jays. What do we see here in day number two in Toronto?
Yeah, always tough to handicap against a pitcher you're not sure is going to be on the mound, but early indicators show Bowden Francis, 68 batters on the season, a 250 ISO and a 405 weighted on base percentage, but nothing over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball. And you take a look at that lineup here. If you have an iffy pitcher on the mound going up against the Orioles, it usually doesn't work out in your favor. But I'll tell you what usually doesn't work out in your favor even more than that. It's when an ace is on the mound facing your team, which is Corbin Burnes, who's been absolutely electric over the past 30 days and also throughout the entirety of the Major League Baseball season. Looks like we're going to get a victory here for the Orioles.
Yeah, so as we keep it rolling around Major League Baseball, a battle for the top of the American League Central. Yes, you heard that right. Tonight in Cleveland, it's the Guardians and the Royals. Minus 120 for Cleveland as a slight home favorite. But then you have Seth Lugo on the other side for KC with the Royals booked as an underdog. What happens here between the two best teams in the AL Central?
Yeah, Royals booked as an underdog, but more of an underplay for me. Tristan McKenzie, who's one of those guys which has a terrible, like, xFIP minus number, should be able to get hit around. He's been escaping those. And if you take a look at him against right-handed batters, through he faced 68 of them over the past 30 days, that number's high. It's a 236 weighted on base, 236 ISO and a 348 weighted on base percentage. You know who you're looking at from the right side here tonight. It's going to be Bobby Witt Jr., 227 ISO power number. Let's flip it over to the other side. Seth Lugo has been absolutely incredible for the Kansas City Royals. Last 30 days, a 119 ISO, weighted on base percentage of 263. Just to put that in a capsule of this entire season, 313 batters, a 121 ISO, and a weighted on base percentage of 266. This isn't just a pitcher getting hot over the past couple starts. He's been fantastic over the first couple months of the season. Now, taking a look at right-handed pitchers going up against the Cleveland Guardians, who have a very good record and also a very good track record of hitting right-handed pitchers, particularly over the last 30 days. Look at the middle of this lineup, Ramirez, Naylor, and Fry. 439, 328, and 207 ISO power numbers consecutively there. That's probably where your power source is going to come from. But having said that, if looking at both of these lineups, both of these pitchers, I probably still would lean to the under between this game and the Guardians and the Royals.
Really makes sense. 9-1, the record this year for Seth Lugo. Yeah. The ERA is 1.72, second best ERA at this moment for qualified starters in Major League Baseball. Those 9 wins tied for the most in the bigs as well. He's made 12 starts this year for KC. The Royals 9-3 in those 12 games. I do love a plus money price when Seth Lugo is on the bump for Kansas City. When this certain starter was on the bump up in the Bronx, it used to be our favorite day here on the early line. Now it's just another Tuesday. Luis Gil gets the start for the Yankees. He has been sensational this season in his debut year for the Pinstripes. They're a minus 180 favorite against the Minnesota Twins. Total at 8 tonight inside Yankee Stadium. Longest active win streak currently in the bigs. That belongs to the Yankees. 5 in a row. Will it be 6 straight in the 43rd win of the year for New York?
I think it should be 6 straight. And also, you take a look at some of those guys in the Yankee lineup. And Ben, maybe when you were running around middle school yelling, crank that soldier boy. Woo! Two guys in the lineup today from the New York Yankees you are not going to want to miss, because Bailey Ober, check out these splits. 57 batters he's faced over the last month against right-handed batters. A 283 ISO power number, a weighted on base percentage of 388. For the season, 125 right-handed batters, a 254 ISO, and a 354 weighted on base percentage. Look at these numbers. Right-handed batters in the lineup today, Aaron Judge, 88 at-bats. This doesn't, it doesn't compute, it doesn't make sense. A 603 ISO power number and a 603 weighted on base percentage. I've never seen statistics that high here. And then you throw in and say, well, what's Giancarlo Stanton been doing? 358 ISO, 412 weighted on base percentage. Get the launch pad going, because today is Dinger Tuesday, and both of those guys, great shots to rock one into the seats tonight. Forget about handicapping the game. Don't look any further. Judge and Stanton. Woo, boy, tonight, watch out.
Great breakdown, DRS. Everything was fantastic there. But what was the crank that soldier boy reference?
Crank it, like blast the baseballs into the seats. Crank that. Oh. Yeah, crank it.
Okay.
Boom. Yeah. Come on now.
That was pretty good. That's pretty.
Yeah.
You know, Superman, that.
Exactly.
A word we can't say here on this network. 6 starts.
Get yourself in trouble, Ben. Don't get yourself in trouble.
It's like St. John's baseball back in Mike Cardano's day. 6 starts for Luis Gil, by the way, in the month of May. He won all 6. He allowed only 3 earned in those 6 starts in total. The rookie for New York is 7-1 with a 1.99 ERA. I think I'm seeing this correctly. He has a neck tattoo. Like right here over the Adam's apple for our guy, Luis Gil. Don't call him Lucas. Interesting stuff. We'll preview a game in Arlington, game number 2 of the set between the Tigers and the Rangers, and a few more Major League Baseball thoughts on the other side of the break. And then a best bet coming your way from Oklahoma City between Oklahoma and Florida in a winner-take-all game of the Women's College World Series. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yesterday, a 2-1 final in Arlington between the Tigers and the Rangers, courtesy of the Texas kid, Jake Rogers, the native of Canyon, Texas, back in his home Lone Star State. Two solo shots for Detroit. They knock off Texas 2-1. Virtual pick'em once again. Yesterday was an actual pick'em with Scooble on the bump for Detroit, Eovaldi on the other side for Texas, minus 108 on both sides. Donnie, now it's minus 110 for Detroit, minus 106 for Texas. A second consecutive pick'em in this Texas tussle. Who gets the victory?
Detroit baseball. We're going with him again on day number two. Why? It's Jack Flaherty here. Yeah. Take a look at the walk percentage against him. 118 batters, only 4.2%. Couple that with a 34% strikeout rate. That is absolutely incredible. An ISO power number of 177, which is right about on the margin, but a 291 weighted on base percentage. I like the matchup here for Flaherty going up against that lineup here for the Rangers, who quite frankly, only three guys here. And if you can just walk Corey Seager, you should be home here. And the reason why I say that, against right-handed pitching here over the past 30 days, Seager's up there with Aaron Judge. 55 at-bats, a 636 ISO power number, and a weighted on-base percentage of 589. He shouldn't see anything to hit tonight if they are smart. Now, if we flip it over on the other side, Dave Dunning, just your average Major League Baseball pitcher against your average lineup for the Tigers. So I lean towards the Tigers in this game, but we might just be looking at an under when it's all said and done. But we'll roll Detroit again.
Could we see an under at PNC Park in Pittsburgh? Pretty good pitching matchup on paper. The rookie starter for the Pittsburgh Pirates, not Paul Skeens. More than likely he comes tomorrow. Jared Jones on the bump for the Buccos today against the ace for LA, that being the Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow gets the start. The Dodgers a hefty road favorite, as we would expect them to be. The over-under at 7.5. What do you like tonight in Pittsburgh?
Jared Jones, very good against right-handed batters this season, Ben, particularly over the past 30 days. 54 of those batters he's faced. How about this? 125 ISO power number, 249 weighted on base percentage. But how about this? Flip it over to lefties, it's not the same situation. The right-handed Jones, a 333 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 483 against those lefties here over the past month. You know who those two guys in the lineup that are going to do damage tonight? It's Ohtani and Freeman back-to-back. 73 at-bats and 75 at-bats respectively against right-handed pitching over the past month. 254 ISO, 273 ISO. High weighted on base percentages for sure. So I would, it's a high number to take with the Dodgers. I do think they get the job done. But if you just look at the focus here, maybe some RBI props and hitter props here right between Ohtani and Freeman, they should make some sense for cash tonight.
Tonight, a Boston battle in Fenway. Total is 8. The Atlanta Braves, a road favorite with Max Fried on the bump. Minus 164 in favor of Atlanta. On the other side, it's Cutter Crawford for the Red Sox, the home underdog. What gives tonight in this Boston battle?
I'll tell you what, you take a look at Max Fried here, and this is sort of like a symbolism here for the Atlanta Braves in this 2024 season, at least as of late. Not really doing much damage at the plate, but having some great pitching performances on the mound. Take a look at Fried. Last 133 batters he's faced, ISO power number, 066. Weighted on base percentage, 235. That's spectacular. And also going up against a Red Sox team, I typically like to back with a few guys with RBI props, but they have not hit left-handed pitching all that well over the past month. Ref Snyder, 167 ISO. Rafaela, a 200 ISO. Everybody else is below the Mendoza line here for what you like to look forward to. So I think those Atlanta pitchers will cool those Boston bats down. Cutter Crawford on the other side hasn't pitched very well over the past 30 days. Looking at the last 121 batters he's faced, 178 ISO, which is slightly above average, but a 344 weighted on base percentage. But the problem, as I keep pointing out, is we haven't had that offensive explosion just yet for the Atlanta Braves, and we're waiting on it here. Ozuna, Olsen, Kelenic do make sense in that lineup, but even with 68 degree temperatures, which isn't that heated up in Boston, and a wind that's 7 miles an hour, but really a right to left, we're probably playing this game into an under. But I do like the Atlanta Braves tonight. I think they have the better pitcher on the mound, and I think their lineup should be able to hit Cutter Crawford. We'll go with the Braves.
Saw a great stat on how the Red Sox have been frankly mediocre pretty much at every station of this MLB season. They have been an even 500. That's where the Sox enter tonight. 30-30 after 60 games. These two teams, two of the five highest under percentages in all of Major League Baseball. Boston under in 56.4% of their games. Atlanta under in more than 60, despite the Braves playing to some recent overs and the Sox over in 5 of their last 7 games. Next up on our Major League Baseball countdown on this Tuesday, we go out to the desert, the divisional duel for a second consecutive day. The Diamondbacks win the opener yesterday over the Giants. Now it's minus 116 in favor of Arizona against San Francisco tonight. Total of 9, the Desert Duel, who gets a win?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one here because Harrison's not a great pitcher. Does struggle a little bit against right-handed batters. We'll get to that in a second. But looking at Blake Walston, the left-handed pitcher, only 37 batters he's faced on the season. ISO 032, weighted on base percentage 291. Not a lot to go off of there. However, against left-handed pitching, the San Francisco Giants have really excelled over the past month. Ramos, 421 ISO power number. Estrada, 333. Chapman, 389. Matos, 286. And Schmidt, 375. That might tell you we might be getting a little bit of offense here for San Francisco, depending on how long Walston goes for. But flip it over to Kyle Harrison, another left-handed pitcher struggling with right-handed batters. There's two guys in this lineup I would take a look at if you're looking to bet an RBI end or maybe some base prospects here. That's Ketel Marte, 44 at-bats against left-handed pitching over the past month. How about this, Ben? A 475 ISO and a 440 weighted on base percentage. Christian Walker, 250 ISO power number, 335 weighted on base percentage. However, the RBI prop sometimes a little bit tougher for Walker, a 38% strikeout rate against left-handed pitchers. Nothing can be more frustrating when you just need to put the ball in play to get an RBI and they strike out. So the best batter in this lineup and maybe the game, probably Ketel Marte. Look for him to do some damage at the leadoff spot.
We've got a couple of intriguing either interstate or intercity interleague affairs tonight, including one in Florida between the Marlins and the Rays. Quickly here, DRS, Tampa, a road favorite in South Florida against Miami, minus 122. Now the updated number on the money line.
Yeah, again, if you're taking a look at a bad baseball team, which is Miami going up against Pepio, who does have some decent splits against right-handed batters. He's a right-handed pitcher, but the lefties, they're getting to him. A 273 ISO power number and a 347 weighted on base percentage. Some lefties in the lineup tonight that might make sense. Nick Gordon due to bat six, but more importantly, Josh Chisholm, leadoff batter, 77 bats against right-handed pitching, 247 ISO, 371 weighted on base percentage. He should get some base hits, maybe an RBI, and score some runs tonight.
Another breakdown in Major League Baseball coming your way, and then that best bet from OKC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To the north side of Chicago we go for the inner city showdown between the White Sox and the Cubbies tonight. Shota Imanaga on the bump for the Cubs. When he's on the mound for Chicago, things have often been pretty good, except for last week when we previewed that game for Imanaga. Minus 300 is the number in favor of the Cubs tonight. Why? Well, again, Imanaga gets the start. But the White Sox, the worst team in Major League Baseball, have also lost 11 consecutive games. So what will we see tonight inside the friendly confines?
I got to tell you, like, Imanaga's been an unbelievable pitcher, but you're right about that. Usually it's like, okay, I'm going to lay 300 on a pitcher that's had, like, I don't know, 7 straight shutouts here. Not a game where he got absolutely imploded. So now you come onto that mound, maybe a little bit of second thoughts. And you have some pretty good hitters in the lineup tonight for the Chicago White Sox who have done well against lefties over the past month. That's Pham, Jolks, Sheets, and Mendick here. We'll see if they can make a difference. And also, when you're flipping over to the other side, Chris Flexen, who is your average Major League Baseball pitcher here? Okay between lefties, okay between righties here, but for the season, lefties have really gotten the best of them. You take a look at Mike Talkman, the lead off that lineup. Cody Bellinger always pops up here. Eaton Happ, who is a switch hitter who will bat from the left-hand side tonight. The Cubs are the better team, but that price point is ridiculous. And if you said, Donnie, you had to take one bet on this game that had to be a side, certainly not going to be the Cubs at a minus 300 price. I'll take the dog price on Chicago. Then also keep in mind, at Wrigley Field, some rain in the forecast, but winds blowing out double digits to left field. We possibly could see runs, and that 9, even though Imanaga has been so dominant, maybe a little shaky after that last start. I think we get some runs tonight.
Listen, +1.5 for the away team on the run line. There is some sense there. It's plus 118. Mm-hmm. Sometime that 11-game losing skid has to end for the White Sox. Could it be tonight? A couple of other updates from yesterday around Major League Baseball. The Mets had a lead in the 8th inning and into the 9th that they held on to. Game number 2 tonight in the nation's capital between the Mets and the Nationals. New York, a road favorite at minus 120. We also shared that we were looking at a game yesterday in Anaheim, the Southern California contest between the Angels and the Padres. The Halos take game 1. Tonight, it's a pick'em between San Diego and L.A. Adam Azor gets the start, the former Iowa Hawkeye, the second-round pick for the Pods just a couple of years ago. DRS, anything else you like around Major League Baseball before we get to those best bets?
No, it looks like a pretty good night across the board. You got some good hitting environment, some good numbers to stack up on a full slate here. So it will be a very fun night in the DRS household, no doubt.
A very fun night. A very fun night indeed. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time for a best bet on this Tuesday. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. What is the best bet of all the bets tonight that you could play in Major League Baseball?
I'm telling you, Soldier Boy told us already, man. When he said crank that, Ben, he knew exactly where I was going, and that means up in the Biggie Down Bronx, and we're going to take a look at Aaron Judge with a 603 ISO power number. It doesn't make any sense. Just trust it. Now, also, handicappers, bookmakers, they're pretty smart at this. Today is Dinger Tuesday at the FanDuel Sportsbook, so appropriately, yeah, I am going to go with a dinger, and is Aaron Judge. But typically, like, ooh, what's that price point? Plus 440, plus 460, 5-1. It's plus 186 tonight. It's basically an RBI prop on steroids here because it's a home run. But I do believe Aaron Judge goes yard tonight. We'll make our best bet on Dinger Tuesday right here. Plus 186 on Aaron Judge to go yard tonight against Bailey Ober.
The Yanks, a hefty favorite with Luis Gil on the bump. He won all six of the starts that he made in the month of May, only giving up three total earned runs in those six outings. Now we go to the Women's College World Series. Today, this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time, scheduled first pitch in Oklahoma City between one of the most legendary programs ever in the history of Division I softball, the Oklahoma Sooners and the Florida Gators, who have an upset on their mind. Now, OU is a hefty favorite today, minus 250. Yesterday, behind four home runs for Florida, two off the bat of Skylar Wallace, the Gators snapped a 20-game WCWS win streak for the Sooners to force this winner-take-all game on this Tuesday afternoon. Oklahoma is a minus 250 favorite. Kelly Maxwell gets the start. She transferred from Oklahoma State to Oklahoma to be in spots like this one. This year, DRS, 21-2 is the record for Maxwell with a 1.86 ERA. She is going to absolutely shove. But, Ben, we can't lay minus 250 on the money line for a game. You're right. Oklahoma now the plus money underdog, plus 105, if they were to reach the WCWS final to take on Texas. There's your number on the Sooners, plus 105 to win their fourth consecutive national championship. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us on this Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on the Early Line.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.